We're continuing with stories from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He discovered something that caused him to faint and get really scared until he was able to verify the secret, the truth, what was straight and right, and he was able to verify his doubts. And this is what we're talking about. He fasted for many days and prayed to his Creator that Elio should appear to him. And behold, Elio came before him, and Elio asked him, "Are you seeking me out? Is there something you want from me? I'll give you what you want." And Rabbi Yeshua told him, now this is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, not to be confused with Rabbi Yeshua from the previous story, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah. Rabbi Yeshua told him, "I want to go with you and see what you do in this world, so I'll be able to learn great wisdom from you." And Elio said, "I'm telling you, you won't be able to take what you see me do. And I'll really cause you to be burdened when I show you what I do." And Rabbi Yeshua said, "My master, I won't ask, I won't test you, I won't burden you with my questions. I just want to see what you're doing. I want to see what you do and no more." And Elio said, "Fine, but if you ask me why I'm doing things, and you ask me to give you signs and to explain to you, so then you won't be able to continue coming with me." So they start going, and they come to a man who is very poor, and he has nothing but one cow that's standing in his yard. And the man and his wife are sitting at the gate, and they see them coming towards them, and they go out to greet them, and they're very happy with these guests. They let them sit in their home, and they give them the best they can, and they bring before them the little bit that they have to eat and drink. They eat, they drink, they sleep there, and in the morning they get up to leave. Elio starts praying, and he says, "God, please make this man's cow die." And the cow drops dead, and they leave. Rabbi Yeshua sees this, and he doesn't understand. He's shocked, and he says, "This poor man, he honored us. That's the only way we could have paid his wages, to kill his cow. That's it. Now he's got nothing left." And he says, "Elio, my master, why'd you make this man, his cow, die? He gave us such honor." And Elio said, "You remember our condition? That you'll be quiet? You won't say anything? If you want, leave me and I'll tell you." So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi became quiet, and he didn't bother. They continue traveling all day, and at night they come to a wealthy person. And the wealthy person doesn't have time for them, he doesn't look at them, doesn't honor them. And they walk into his house, and he doesn't offer them to eat or drink. And that wealthy person had a wall which had fallen, and he had to rebuild it. And in the morning, Elio stands up and davens that the wall be rebuilt. And the wall gets rebuilt. They leave. And again, Rabbi Yeshua starts wondering in his heart what's going on here. But this time he contains himself, he doesn't ask. And they continue traveling all day. And that night they reach a great shul that has benches of gold and silver. And everyone was sitting on their bench, each person according to his honor and his wealth. And one of them said, "Who's going to feed the poor tonight?" And one of them says, and the other one answers, and he says, "It's too much. They should bring them bread, water, salt." And they thought that we don't have to give them more than that. And Elio and Rabbi Shov and Levi wait. They don't give them anything. They don't give them honor the way they should. And they sleep there till the morning. In the morning, they get up to leave, and Elio turns to all these people in this wealthy, wealthy shul, who figured it was too much to give them bread, water, and salt, that they don't need to give them any more than that for sure. And Elio turns to them and he says, "Hashem should make all of you leaders." And they go, and again, Rabbi Yeshua is wondering. They come to a city, and it's nighttime, and the people of the city see them, and they go out to greet them, and they're happy with them. They give them their best house to rest in. They give them to eat, to drink. They sleep there. They give them great honor. And in the morning, Eliyahu davens and he says, Hashem, make only one of them a leader. So when Rabbi Shua ben Levi hears this, he can't contain himself anymore. And he says, Eliyahu, no, tell me all the secrets. And Eliyahu says, okay, I understand you're ready to leave. You've had enough. So I'll explain to you what I've done. I'll explain to you all the secrets. Now, when we hear the end of the story, I want us to pause and think, what is the message? Remember, Rav Nissim Gaon, we have the merit to be learning his work. This isn't a storyteller. This is one of the greatest rabbis that ever lived. And he began with a philosophical question. We know that all of God's ways are just. And he's giving us different avenues to understanding that. So he's dealt with the question, how come we see a righteous person that seems to the very end didn't get what he was supposed to? And he answered that with the first story. And he gave us the second aspect that bothers people about God being just, about seeing people that are handicapped. And he gave us different ways of understanding that. And now he's dealing with the third aspect, that sometimes you see people are doing good and bad things happen, people are doing bad and good things happen, and you see a situation where Eliyahu is praying for seemingly good things to happen to bad people and seemingly bad things to happen to good people, and he's going to give us another way of answering that. And Eliyahu tells Rabbi Shua ben Levi, I'll explain to you everything, I'll tell you the secrets of what you've seen. I want you to know the man who I killed his cow, that day there was a decree in heaven that his wife should die. And I prayed to Hashem, let his cow die and not his wife. If you guys want to understand this, again, this is Nathanael Frankenthal talking, not Rav Nissim Gaon. But we could understand this on another level. The Arizal says an extension of a person, there's the person himself, his life, there's his garment, there's his clothing, there's his wealth. These are all an extension of a person's life. Sometimes, if there's a decree in heaven that a person's life should be taken, so then that decree can be redeemed when a person's wealth is taken. There are different ways in which a decree can be redeemed. So Eliyahu turns to God and he says, I know it's been decreed in heaven and his wife is supposed to die. Look at the mitzvahs he did. He helped us out. Says cow dies. What does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi see? And what does this man see? They see, we just did a great mitzvah. We honored these people. We fed them. Now the cow died. After all these mitzvahs, the cow died. What's happening in heaven? His wife was supposed to come down with who knows what. She was supposed to have a massive heart attack that day. They didn't know that. Eliyahu says, I'm going to save his wife. The cow died. They'll have to contend with it. They have a financial problem. But what happened here? Was it a favor or not? When we look at life, sometimes we only see the edge. We see, hey, what's happening now? And we feel that. That's very real by us. We don't know everything else. So that's Eliyahu's first answer. And I ask that cow be the redeeming of his wife's souls. So, the Odraiti, and furthermore I saw that if that wife stays around, she's going to be very good and build a great house for him. That wealthy person that I built his wall, if I would have left that wall up to him to build that wall, he would have discovered that in that broken wall were many treasures that were hidden. He would have become much more wealthy. So he thinks he got a favor. He came in the morning to build the wall. He sees it's built. He doesn't know. He could have had it much better. So I wanted to minimize his good, so I had that wall built. And don't worry. The new wall I built, it's still going to fall. Pretty soon it's going to fall, and no one's ever going to rebuild it. He's almost over. The people who I prayed about them, that they should have many nobles and many leaders, because that's what's bad for them. These are bad people. They don't want to help people. If they'll all be leaders, they'll keep arguing. Everyone's going to say, I have the right to a decision. I'm the leader here. The other one will say, I'll have the right to a decision. Any place that you have many leaders gets destroyed. It can't last. And the other people, I pray they should have one leader. That's what's good for them. Because if they have one leader, then things will go well. They won't have arguments. And they'll have a leader that guides them in the way that's good. Like people say, if you have too many captains, the ship sinks. And if you have one leader, you can establish a city. Eliyahu told him, I'm leaving you, and I want you to know something that will help you. If you see a Rasha, that things are going well for him, don't let your Yetzer get the better of you. Don't wonder about him. It's to his detriment. And if you see a tzaddik that things are bad for him throughout his days, and he's working hard, and you see he's suffering, he doesn't have enough food, doesn't have enough drink, he doesn't have enough clothing, he's lacking, or you see that he has other afflictions, don't be upset. Don't let your yetzer get the better of you and your heart to think doubts of your Creator. Be straight with your Creator, and you should know that God is righteous and His judgment is righteous. He looks at the way a person behaves. Who could tell him how he should run this world? And then they each wished one another peace, and each went to his way. So now the Rav Nissim Gaon has given us another answer when it comes to viewing God's actions, and that is, we never know if what's bad is really for good, and if what's good is really for bad. What seems to us good can sometimes really be bad. What seems to us bad can really be good. So this is another answer. And when we learn the book of Eov, we're going to see that these are different answers that Eov's friends give him. How is Eov supposed to contend with all the bad that's happening to him? So now Rav Nissim Gaon has given us another answer, another philosophical answer. We can read it as a story, or we can see what he's telling us beyond the story. If you think about it with more depth, you'll see that perhaps there are different shades of this answer within the answer. Perhaps this isn't just one answer. Perhaps there's more to the answer. Review the stories in your minds, and you'll see that maybe there's more to it philosophically. Again, we're having the good fortune of learning a work by a Gaon. A Gaon, okay, it's someone that preceded Rashi. Every word he says, we have to think what's the depth behind this.